That's enough of that. I want to be able to share God's word this morning. And so trial sermons are always a bit weird, right? You know, and so it's like, I'm not here to impress, really. I'm just here to kind of share what's on my heart. And so I want to just take a moment and pray and just ask God just to open up his word to us in a way that we can both hear it and be able to respond. So let's pray together, okay? God, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the tremendous blessing of being a part of your church. That we can all come together, Lord, this morning, and we can have different backgrounds, and we can come from different places, and we can be going through different things, but Lord, you know all of that. And before the cross, we are all equal. And your goodness and your mercies are new every morning. And I pray that some this morning even woke up with that realization of how you are good and how you love us and how you've provided everything that we need in this life to follow you, to believe, have faith, and be obedient. And so, God, we just pray now as we get into your word and study, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Your word is living and active. It has the ability to cut through the marrow of our life. And pray that you would speak to us now by your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Yeah, Rodney mentioned that my wife and I, Jamie, we've been in ministry for about 25 years, last 14 in San Diego. And when we knew that God was calling us back home, that began this journey for us that we just didn't know where it was going to take us and really how things were going to shape out, but we just wanted to be faithful and we wanted to be obedient. And so we just began praying and seeking the Lord's guidance and direction. And as I was thinking about what I wanted to preach today, because I just didn't know what the Lord would have, that was the message that he kind of put on my heart was just, let's talk about going home, right? And so you'll see if you got a bulletin this morning, the title of the message is Coming Home. And what I want to preach on today is probably one of the more well-known and perhaps one of the favorite parables of Jesus for many people. I know it's one of my favorites. It's found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. And so if you want to turn your Bibles there, Gospel of Luke chapter 15, we're going to do a bit of a survey of those verses in verses 11 through 32. We don't really have time to get into all of it. But Jesus actually, he tells three parables in this chapter, in Luke chapter 15. And they're all about lost things, right? These parables are these spiritual truths and stories that Jesus is telling. The first one is about a lost sheep. The second one is about a lost coin. And the third, which is going to be our focus this morning, is about a lost son, or it's sometimes referred to as the prodigal son. And I really don't like that title because, truth be told, the man in the story that Jesus tells, he's got two sons, and they're both needing to find their way back home. And I'll try to hit on that as we go through this, okay? But if you got your Bibles with you this morning, look there at verse 12. As the story opens, after we learn of the man's two sons, it says that the youngest, he goes to his father and he asks for his inheritance early. And you can kind of see that there in the text. He's like, Dad, no offense. Don't take this the wrong way, but I can't wait for you to die. He's like, I would, if it's not too much trouble, I'd like you to give me my part of the inheritance early. I'd like to have my share of the money that you would normally give me then. I want it now, right? That's what he essentially goes to the father and asks. We don't know much of the backstory of this parable, right? The father just agrees and he divides his property between his son. Some of you know this story pretty well. And then as the story goes on, the youngest son, not long after the father gives him the inheritance, right? It says not long after, right? He goes off to this distant country. And if you are into highlighting or circling things in your Bible, you might just, you know, look at that. Distant country. That's the phrase that's used. He goes and he squanders he wastes all of his money on wild or reckless living, right? That's kind of the picture the Bible describes here. And initially, it looks like things are working out for this kid, right? I mean, he comes to the father with this ridiculous request, and the father actually grants him, right? He gives him the money. So this kid, he's got all this money. He's far away from mom and dad, right? And it seems like he's having a good time, and he's just living it up, right? He seems to be having this wonderful experience, you know, and some of you, you've kind of been there, right? We even have a phrase nowadays, what happens in Vegas, what? Stays in Vegas. See, you already know that, right? What happens in Vegas, I mean, that's kind of the idea you get from this, and except for things start to go bad for him, right? Things start to change. What happens next in the story? You see that, right? Life begins to happen. Troubles begin to follow. Storms and trials begin to happen. I love our worship set this morning, by the way. We didn't even talk about that, but that just fits so perfect with what we're discussing. But eventually life always happens, especially when we choose to spend any amount of time away from the Father's presence. Okay? And I want you to hold on to that. In distant countries, when we're away from home, and much like in most all of Jesus' parables, there's this deeper meaning to the story that's being told. And it's certainly the case here that in this parable, we understand that the Father, he represents God, right, in this story. He represents our relationship with God the Father. And we are his sons and his daughters and his children. And just like in life, we got choices to make. God gives us the freedom, right? He gives us the free will to choose. Are we going to remain close to the Father? Or are we instead going to make choices that move us further away? Right? Further away from his presence. Choices that we can make. And you can name it, right? You can name what those choices are, because anything that takes us further away from God the Father, we can call that sin. Choices that we make that inevitably move us further away from God's presence is sin. And we can choose to move to whatever distant country, and you name that country, right? These sinful choices that we sometimes fall into, that we sometimes make, and the consequences that happen as a result of, right? We carry these consequences with us sometimes. And this is exactly what we see in this story with this son. Because sure enough, after a while, this good time begins to fall apart all around him. The son continues to make unwise decisions. He wastes all of his money, right? And not only that, but circumstances happen that are outside of his control. We see that in the text there. The Bible says there's a famine in the land, right? That's outside of his control. But he wasn't prepared. In fact, he'd wasted all of his money. Circumstances happen in life, right? Famines happen, and the Bible says he began to be in need. Look there. Some of the predicament he causes, others of it just happens to him. But here's what he's beginning to learn, and if you got your bulletins there, you can look. There's the first point this morning. Sin always promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. It always does. Sin always promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. It delivers chains. It delivers shackles. It delivers this idea of bondage and captivity. Sin always overpromises, but underdelivers every single time. It promises unending happiness, but it ends in sorrow and grief. It promises life and life to the fullest, but it ends in death and separation from God. And sin will get you to believe lies in life, right? It will deceive you. It will bait you in and lure you in until it has you on the hook, right? And in our story here, the son, he was fooled into thinking that life apart from the Father's presence, that was the good life. He was mistaken. And it was his rebellion that kind of led to this living in a distant or foreign country. And this is the big point, because so often we tend to think, right? We tend to think that It's not only indifference or like things like anger, right, that leads to rebellion, but not here. The son, he just wanted the blessing of his father. He just didn't want the relationship, right? He wanted his father to give him what he wanted, what he had asked for, what he had prayed for, but he just didn't want to be obedient. He didn't want his father to tell him what to do or how to live. And boy, if you think about that, it becomes very relatable, doesn't it? We too want the blessings, all the blessings that God can give us. But we don't want the discipline, right? We don't always want the obedience that comes with it. And as sin has a nature to do, it continues to take him further down this rabbit hole that he's traveling, trying to fill the need, right? Trying to fill the void, the God-shaped hole in his heart. And as one thing kind of piles on the next, as you see in your text there, he sort of hits rock bottom where he's got this job. You know, look in your text there. He's got this job, and he's feeding pig slop to pigs, right? It's literally the most undignified job that he could find. For a Jewish guy, I mean, this is, you don't get any worse than this. And he's so hungry. The Bible, look at verse 16. It says he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. And so he's got this. You got this son here who he had everything he wanted while he was with the father, while he was in his presence. He didn't really know it at the time, but that's the fact, right? And now he's lost all of it, right? He spent all of these things. He squandered it. But once again, this is the nature of sin, right? And this is kind of what I want you to know. Sin always takes you further than you want to go. It always keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it always costs you more than you want to pay. And he's learning this in real time. And some of us, we've done that, haven't we? We've learned that hard lesson as well. But then something beautiful happens. Look at verse 17. I love this. Look there. It says, but when he came to his senses. And sometimes, you know, like we kind of read stories and we kind of read over things really quickly. I don't want you to read over that. When he came to his senses, and it literally what this Bible, what this verse is kind of showing us is when he realizes, when he wakes up, when his eyes are finally open and he realizes what he really wanted all along was just there with his father. That's what he wanted. He has this awakening moment, right? He comes to his senses. And some of you know exactly what that's like because that's happened to you. At some point in your life, right, you kind of had this, you know, coming to Jesus moment, right? This coming to your senses and in some cases, you look at your life and you begin to ask yourself some very hard questions. Like, you know, how did I get here? Has anyone ever asked that before? When you think about your life and you think, you know, this is not how I had it planned out. Right? I was supposed to be further along than this. There was more things that I had wanted in my life. How did I get here? And there's some hard questions that you can ask yourself when you come to this realization. And it's a moment of clarity. It's a moment of truth. And there's a lot of ways that God tries to get our attention. And unfortunately, you know what I found? That it takes moments like this. Famine moments. Moments where you're at the bottom. You're looking up. And there are moments where, and can we just be honest, right? None of us want these moments. Right? We don't want famine, right? We don't want circumstances in life to get so bad that we're having to ask ourselves really, really hard questions, right? We don't want those financial hardships that cause us to get in places to where we're like, man, Lord, why? We don't want things like that. We don't want sicknesses. We don't want health problems. But it's exactly in some of those moments that we go through those hardships, those challenges, where God tends to get our attention the most. And unfortunately, I know for me, I found that to be true over and over and over again. And it's not that God always causes these things in our lives, and we get caught, you know, sometimes caught up in that. We get caught up in the theological debates that we have with ourselves even, right? Typically these why questions, like, God, why would you allow this? Why would you let me get into this? Why would you take me down this path? And the truth is, you know, God may not always cause these things, but in his sovereignty, he may allow them, right? He may allow them. Because ultimately, it's about his plan and his purposes for his glory and our good. Amen? For the prodigal son, it's a combination of both. But it happens, and God gets his attention. And then comes this next tough part, okay? And so I got a lot to get through, and I got to do it really, really fast here, okay? I got 8 minutes and 25 seconds here, okay? So.
You got all the time.
You do? Okay, all right. But this is where the repentance comes in. And this is a church word. If you're not familiar with repentance, that's okay. We'll kind of go through it, okay? He comes to a sentence, and this is where this journey of repentance in verse 17, he says, essentially, he's like, what am I doing here? Life at home with my father, there was always more than enough food to eat, right? That's kind of what he summarizes there. And yet here he says, I'm starving to death. He's desperate. I'm looking at these pigs, and I'm wishing that I could eat what they're eating. I mean, can you imagine being in a situation like that? And so what begins in his heart and his mind begins to resonate into action, and it stems from taking a long, hard look in the mirror and just being honest about what you see. Having a hard conversation, like I said, with yourself, requiring some hard truth and perhaps things like confession. Some of us, we don't like to confess, right, our needs, that we're in need. It requires calling out, maybe naming some areas in our life that we're not very proud of, some of the areas of sin that we're kind of caught up in, maybe some bad habits, right? Getting in the way of your relationship with your father that's taking you further away from home. And the truth is, listen, because I know it can be very painful, it can be very complicated, asking for forgiveness. In fact, there are sometimes we have these relationships that are so divided, and what needs to happen is some conversation and prayer and asking for forgiveness for someone that we know. I don't know about you, but I would rather avoid some of those hard areas of life, wouldn't you? Right? In fact, I have tried that before. I've tried to go around some of the difficult circumstances that I have faced at times and dodge situations instead of owning it and saying, you know what, I've sinned. I've messed up. There are things that I'm not proud of that are not right. And what happens next is incredible. I mean, it's so important in this process of repentance. It's where so many of us, I think, if you've ever been in this situation, you think to yourself, why do I just keep messing up? Why do I keep failing? Why do I keep rinsing, repeating the same things over and over and over in my life? Why am I struggling to see transformation? And I'm desperate, but I don't know what to do next. And I think it's found in this next verse, in verse 20. It's so simple. It just simply says this at the beginning. So he got up and he went to his father. Seems so simple. When you first read that, you think, man, that's so easy. But is it? I mean, sometimes the hardest part is just getting up. Right? When we're thinking about obedience, when we're thinking about repentance, everything comes down to this idea of returning to the Father, and that's our hinge moment. I call it hinge moment, where everything begins to turn around, everything begins to shift and change. In other words, you can have this reality check, right? These moments in life where you call out these things and you tell yourself, hey, I need to do better. I need to make changes. I need to, you know, right? And we've all kind of gone through this, but what really matters is if you follow through. And so I kind of want to just start with this question this morning. What's it going to take for God to get your attention? What's it going to take for you to be honest with your situation and to say, you know what, I got a problem here. I need to do something about this. I love Max Lucado. He tells a story about a young girl who lived in a very poor area of Brazil, and in this neighborhood, her name was Christina. And she wanted to see the world. She wanted a better life. She was really discontent with living in the very poor conditions. I mean, she didn't even have a bed. She lived and slept on a pallet. They didn't have any running water. They just had a wash basin. They didn't have an oven. All they had was just this wood-burning stove. And she dreamed of a better life in the city. And one morning, she slipped away and run away from home. And her mother was just brokenhearted. Knowing that life on the streets for her young daughter, who's attractive, you know, Maria, that was her mom's name, she hurried to pack her things and to go look for her, and she went down to the bus stop, and before she got to where she was going, she stopped by this drugstore, and she went inside, and what she was after were pictures. And she took pictures of herself, and she used all the money that she had to print as many pictures as she could. As she left the store, they were just black and white photos at the time, and she boarded the bus to the big city, Rio de Janeiro, and she had, literally, she knew her daughter. She didn't have any way to make any money, right? She was just a young girl. She also knew that her daughter was pretty stubborn. She was pretty strong-willed, and when pride meets hunger, human beings will do some of the most unthinkable things. Knowing this, Maria began her search. She went to bars, she went to hotels, she went to nightclubs. She went to places that had the reputation for streetwalkers and prostitutes. She went to every one of them, everyone she could find, until she left the last picture that she had. And she taped them on bathroom mirrors, she put them on on bar stools. She put them on anywhere that she could think that her daughter might possibly go. And then on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. When she ran out of money and couldn't find her daughter, she went home. She was so weary, she wept and wept as she rode the bus on the long journey back to the small village. And the story goes, a few weeks later, the young girl, Christina, she came down some hotel stairs. Her face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with youth. Her laughter was broken. Her youth, her innocence had been stolen by pain and fear. 1,000 times over, she wished that she could just go home and sleep even on that pallet that was her bed. She longed to trade all of the countless beds that she had laid in with strangers just for that moment. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, the story says that she looks up at the lobby mirror and she sees a small picture, and on the picture was her mother. And she goes across the room and she takes the photo in her hands and she flips it over on the back. And she sees this invitation, and the invitation says, whatever you've done, whatever you've become, it doesn't matter. Just please come home. And she did. Immediately, she left for home. And that brings us to our third point. Look in your bulletin. There's no distance too great between us and God. There's no distance too great between us and God. And here's the point. Conviction in our hearts and lives is of no use to us if we don't do something about it, if we don't get up and we don't take action instead, you know, of living in the pig pen, right? Because sometimes that's what we choose. And when you come to your senses, I mean, it's irrelevant if you don't actually follow that up with action. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I heard a preacher one time say, as he was talking, as he's quoting those verses, he said that the broad road that many are on is the road of good intentions. Well-intended intentions, right? So many people, it says, you know, one day I'll come to the Lord. One day I'll have a relationship with Jesus. One day I'll give him my heart and life. One day I'll go get some counseling, right? One day I'll find a church home. One day I'll choose to go to church more. One day I'll get involved. One day I'll serve. One day I'll give. And the list of good intentions, as you know, I mean, it could just go on and on. And on and on. one reason I think we don't get up and repent more often is because of these things of good intentions. I mean, you can imagine, right, what it was like for that young man to go home, this prodigal son. I mean, he probably smelled like the pigs, right? He's been wallowing in a pig pen. He had been given all this money. He's coming back empty-handed. Not to mention the fact, right, that he goes and he's got an older brother. And some of you know, you've got some family members, you've got some siblings. I mean, some of our family, they seem like they got everything together all the time, right? They're always put together. They got everything together. And you can imagine him coming into the house and seeing his older brother. His older brother's got his arms crossed, like, where have you been, right? What have you done? And you can imagine that moment. Just being honest, right? I got nothing. I'm a mess. I'm sorry. It wouldn't have been the easiest thing in the world for him in that pig pen. And I think it would have been way easier for him probably just to say, you know what? Well, when this season of my life is over, right? When I clean myself up a little bit, right? When I go and get a better job, when I find a little bit more money, right? When I do a little bit better things, if I can get a little bit better clothes, if I can find a better house, if I can get my things together more, then I'll return home. That's what we tell ourselves a lot of times. If I just get cleaned up, if I can get my life in order. But you know what the reality of this story is? And I love this. Is that the Father is already on the porch looking out for us. He's already looking out for us in the distance. And he wants nothing more for you just to come home the way that you are. Yeah, you may smell like a pig, but he's ready to put his arms around you. I love that in this story. Not because of what you've done or the things that you have committed, the sins you've committed, but because of who you are. God is ready to welcome you in and to welcome you home. And that's never, it's never, there's never too great a distance for God. And it's true, like the prodigal, you may not feel worthy, right? You may not feel worthy to be called his son or his daughter, but God is there to welcome you back home. Verse 20, it says, but while he's a long way off, his father saw him. See, God sees you. You can't hide from him. I love that about God, right? He sees you right where you are. He knows the things that you're going through. He knows what you're up against. He knows the things that you struggle with. The Bible says that while he was a long way off, God saw him. And just like the prodigal, right, he sees us, right? He has compassion. And then it says, that, and this is so cool, it says that he runs to his son, right? He threw his arms around him. He kissed him. This is a story of God running to us as his children. I'm going to ask the worship team, if you guys would, come on up. Here's the final point that I want to make this morning. It's never too late to come home. Right? There's never too great a distance, and it's never too late to come home. This is where restoration begins to happen. Ernest Hemingway, he tells a story of the in his book, The Capital of the World. And this story he tells is of a father who had a teenage son, and he too ran away from home. He was full of shame, full of guilt, full of all these things that sin can sometimes cause. And the father, he searched all over Spain for his son, literally all over Spain. Finally, in the city of Madrid, his last desperate attempt to find his son, the father, he placed a newspaper article. And the ad read simply this. The son's name was Paco. It said, Paco, meet at Hotel Montana at noon Tuesday. He says, all is forgiven. And the father prayed that maybe the boy would see the ad. Maybe he would see it and he would respond. Maybe he would come to the hotel that Tuesday. And the father, in Ernest Hemingway's story, he arrived at that hotel on that day. And the story says he couldn't believe his eyes. Because there, they had already had to call out the police to kind of navigate the crowd of young boys who had showed up on this Tuesday at this hotel at this time, whose names all were Paco. They had come to meet this father at this hotel. 800 boys. by the name of Paco read the ad in the newspaper and hoped it was for them. 800 Pacos came to receive forgiveness, the thing that they desperately needed. You see, in the story, the father, he didn't wait for an apology, right? He saw the son, and he ran to him. He threw his arms around him. Can I just tell you something? Middle Eastern fathers, it would be very undignified to see them running in public. But in this story, God shows us he doesn't care about dignity as much as he cares about you, as much as he cares about love. Love runs. It doesn't wait. It doesn't walk. It runs. Before the son could even finish his confession, the father interrupts him. He's like, hey, bring the best robe. Bring the sandals, right? Put them on his feet. Bring the ring. Put it on his finger. Every single one of those, we don't have time to go into them, but every single one of those three things, they had significance. The robe, it covered the shame, you know, with honor. The ring, it symbolized restoration and authority that the son belonged. And then the sandals, you see, slaves, they went around barefoot, not sons and daughters. What was lost had been found. What was dead was now alive. And so, hey, we're going to come into this invitation time, and the last point you'll see on your bulletin there is grace doesn't just forgive, it restores. And maybe you're here this morning, God needs to do something in your heart that's restoration, right? Here's what I can tell you, okay? It's not about Will. It's not about anything that I've said, but it's about a divine appointment where you have the opportunity right now to meet God the Father. And not only has he been waiting, but he's been watching for you. He's been looking for you. And he knows exactly what it is that you've been up to. And I love to tell people, you know, when it comes to God's love, there is nothing that you can do to make him love you any more than he does right now. And likewise, there's nothing you can do that will cause him to love you any less, because he loves you wholly and completely. And so during this invitation, I want you to ask you, if you would, go ahead and stand to your feet. I'll ask our prayer team, if you know you're serving today, come forward. I'm going to be over to my right, your left, and if we can pray for you today in some kind of way, right? If God is moving in your heart and life and you're ready to take that next step of faith and obedience, maybe coming home for you is about beginning a relationship with Jesus today. We'd love to talk to you about that, pray with you about that. Maybe coming home for you is just this idea of repentance, right? And you know what? I've been going far off God's path for far too long. It's time for me to come back home. I want to invite you to come. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you once again for being here with us. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We just ask, God, that in this moment you would speak to our hearts. Help us to follow you, Lord, right now in faith and obedience, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen.